Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Lord, we sure do thank you again for the privilege we have to come and gather here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts around the Word of God as we go into this Christmas season. Help us to always remember what Christmas is all about, Lord. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to use this time that's been set aside to celebrate your birth, Lord, among Christians, Lord. It will never forget what it's all about, not get caught up in the hustle and bustle of this world, Lord, and not really realize and remember what Christmas is all about. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen. I want to look at just a thought this evening real quick on Jesus' birth and a picture of the new birth. Of Jesus' birth and it being a picture of the new birth. I think we can see some things in these passages of Scripture. And I'm going to read a good bit, so that's why I didn't read no more than I did. Ain't no use going back and reading it all over again. We know this story. Some people might even know it by heart. We could probably just think about what's taking place here in the book of Luke and remember most of it, but there's a lot of detail that we don't never get. And it's hard to remember those things unless you write it down. But I want to look at several things this evening. And I try to preach about Jesus. I like to keep the messages about Jesus and the focus on Him. But I like to have some points too. There's nothing wrong with having some points. Some preacher asked the old preacher, said, "How many points should a message have?" He said, "It should have at least one." And it should be about Jesus. So let's look at just a few things this evening and look at the contrast of Jesus' birth, a picture of the new birth. Number one, let me say, this is real deep, you'll have to listen. Jesus experienced a birth. There's not an individual in here. If you're living and breathing tonight, you've experienced a birth into the natural realm of life. And we see here that Jesus also, even though he was the Son of God, he was God manifest in the flesh, even though he always has been and always will be, yet we find here in the book of Luke, it records the a birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, so he experienced a birth. Number one, we see the conception in that birth. Now we know that when children are born, there has to be a conception. There has to be two come together, and those two produce one. And so we see that Jesus experienced a birth to put on a robe of flesh, and we see the conception of that birth in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. We see the things that happened before his birth. We see it was a miraculous conception, unlike most conceptions, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though there was a conception took place, it was a miraculous conception, and he was born of a virgin. Who's ever heard of that? Except for the Bible story of Jesus coming into this world, it was prophesied that this was going to take place. The first prophecy we mentioned, I believe, on Sunday morning, the first prophecy of the coming of the seed of a woman was in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, I believe it was. But we see here there was a conception took place, and it was a miraculous conception. Verse 26 said, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, Nazareth was about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. known for its corruption and its low morals. You know, I believe it was Philip when they told him, said, come, we've found the Messiah. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I believe that was where he said that. It's because it was a place of corruption and low morals. But yet, we know that Joseph and Mary, they come, their city was Nazareth here. And verse 27 says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We know that the angel said three things here to Mary. Number one, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. This is true of all believers. This trusted Jesus is their Savior. I mean, we've been, we're highly favored of God. The Lord's with us, and we're blessed among all the people. I mean, really, we ought to be a light in this dark world that we're living in and make a difference. Verse 29 says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how, now Mary's thinking on the natural realm, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So we see the announcement that took place here in verses 26 here through 35. We see not only the announcement that was as the angel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen, that the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow. So we know that there was a conception took place, and that which was in Mary's womb was of God Himself, of the Holy Ghost, as He overshadowed. It wasn't nothing ugly about this conception that took place. I mean, this was a miracle of God as He overshadowed Mary, and He took up abode in her womb. And then 9 months later, we know that there was a child that was born in a stable in Bethlehem, where the order of the king of that era sent for all people to come to the house of their lineage to pay their tax. And through all these prophecies that had been made beforehand, we find a birth that took place. And so we see the birth that took place in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the time of this birth. It said, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, Mary's just ridden a donkey some 70 miles to get to the place of the Lord Jesus' birth. I mean, they were in Nazareth. This was the district that they had to pay their taxes through. And God, through His sovereignty and through His foreknowledge, He put it in the king's heart, there, Caesar Augustus, that the world should be taxed, and it brought them right to the place that where Jesus would to be born. Now, when we get saved, God knows exactly where we're at. He knows where we need to be. He knows where we're going to hear the gospel, and He knows when He pricks our heart and shows us our lost condition. He brings us to that point and place where we're going to experience a new birth. Just as Jesus was brought to the place that had been prophesied in Micah there, that He would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. And that was right here where Jesus wound up here on this night that He came into this world. So we see Jesus experienced a birth. We see, number two, we see the excitement over His birth. You know, there's always excitement over a child being born, coming into this world. I mean, there's all kinds of announcements, you know, when people, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, I don't know. But anyway, there's always, they've come up with all kinds of neat things to let people know what their grandchildren's going to be when they announce that they're expecting. And people don't, maybe most everybody don't know that they're expecting, but couples have got to the point and place they're excited about finding. I remember when we found out that Debbie was expecting with Stephanie, you know, she'd went to the doctor, and I was excited, and I could tell she'd come out, and she'd went in to get the test, and she'd come out, and I was there asking. I was saying, she was saying, wait a minute, you know, and I was excited to know, and I wanted to know. But we know that there's a lot of excitement over the birth of children. Hey, there should be, can I say, just as much excitement over someone getting born again, and there usually is, and we're not as apt to show our excitement when somebody experiences a new birth as we should, but I mean, there ought to be excitement in the house of God. I don't care if they're 6 years old or if they're 60 years old. It ought to be exciting for us when we see someone born again. They come and they make their way down the aisle. They take their place as a sinner or wherever they might be, whether it's in someone's house in a prayer meet. Somebody ought to get excited about people getting saved. We don't get excited enough. We get more excited about the natural birth sometimes than we do someone getting born again. And we see the excitement over his birth. We see the waiting that took place. I mean, it was approximately 9 months after Mary's announcement. It don't tell exactly when the Holy Ghost overshadowed, but it was close right in that point in time when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that conception took place. And approximately 9 months later, there was a child that was known as the Lord Jesus Christ that was born in a stable in Bethlehem, that through the prophecies that had been prophesied, God got it all lined up and worked out where he would be born in that specific place. But we see there was excitement over his birth, the waiting that took place. No doubt Joseph and Mary was exciting, even though Joseph, I guess at first he was sort of taken with the fact that here the lady that was he was betrothed to, I mean, and this had already taken place, and she's found with child. That's hard to explain. But God let Joseph know, and no doubt he was excited for Mary, that she had been highly favored to bring the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, into this world. The one that would save the world from their sins. We see the waiting that took place. There were others that waited. Verse 25 of chapter 2, verse 25 through 38, said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." I mentioned him a little bit Sunday morning, I think, in the message. "And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of law..." Hey, just come to me. You know, if he hadn't have been at the temple, he would have missed this. If he hadn't have been at church, he would have missed one of the most exciting things that he had ever waited for. And if he'd have missed this point in time, he'd have missed it. A lot of people miss a lot by being out of church. There's a lot of people missing a blessing tonight by not being in the house of God. There's people that's left this church, I promise you, that they're going to miss something down the road because they missed the will of God. I don't think God puts us in churches just to flip us around, so to speak. I believe we're here for a purpose. And I believe we'll all settle down where we're at and wait and see what God's got for us. And there's a lot of people missing blessing tonight because they've got out of the will of God. They've walked away. Now, I know, I've moved around different churches in the years that I've been saved. God moves us around for specific reasons sometimes. But thank God for those that's been in churches for 25 and 30 years. They're still there.
They're still filling their places. And if they'd have left, if they hadn't have waited to see what God was going to do, they'd have missed something. And here we find Simeon. He was waiting there in the temple. If he hadn't have been there, he'd have missed seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and holding Him in His arms and seeing the consolation of Israel. What a blessing it would have been. And then it goes on and says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, to a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. And then verse 36, and here's another one that was waiting. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. I mean, she stayed at the church. She said, but served God and with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for the redemption of Israel. So Jerusalem. So here we find two individuals that was waiting also. They were waiting to see this child that had been prophesied that he was coming. And if they'd have got out of church, if they'd have left the temple, and if they'd have went in their own way, hey, they'd have missed the one of the greatest events that ever man ever took notice of. And Simeon wouldn't have got to hold the baby Jesus in his hand. So we see the excitement over his birth. We see the joy his birth brought there in Luke chapter 1 verse 7 to 18. We won't go back and read it, but his parents. And then we see also the shepherds that were rejoicing here in the passage in chapter 2 that we read. And we know the shepherds that the angels came to, and they were watching their flock there by night, and said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and then on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So we see the excitement over his birth. No doubt Mary and Joseph were excited. Anna and Simeon were excited about the birth of Jesus. And we find even the lower class, the shepherd here that was in the field watching their flocks by night, they got excited when they seen the birth of Jesus, when they realized of the birth of Jesus and that he had been born. And they came to see this great sight that had taken place. So we see the excitement over his birth. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting when babies are born in this world. And it's more exciting when somebody gets born again. And that's what we're looking at, Jesus' birth, a picture of the new birth. Then number three, let me say he experienced circumcision. And that circumcision, I believe, is what we look at baptism into the believer, the one that's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh. It could be tied in with separation. Also, separating from the world and coming out of the world. It was an act of obedience, the same as with a believer when they get saved and they follow the Lord Jesus in a scriptural of baptism, we see it's the first act of obedience. I don't believe you have to pray about getting baptized. I believe that's the first step of obedience in a child of God, and it's also an identification. It identifies you with Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. So we see he experienced circumcision that identified him with Israel. I mean, that was something, a rite that they followed through. And when the child was, 8 days old, I believe it was, had been accomplished, then they brought the child to the temple and they named him and they circumcised that child, and that identified him as an Israelite. Now, Jesus was an Israelite. I mean, he was a Jew. He was born to Jewish parents. That made him an Israelite. So he identified with the nation of Israel. It was also an act of presentation. They were presenting him to the nation of Israel here, I believe, as their king and as one of them. And then not only we see he experienced circumcision, but I got three more points and we'll be out of here. He experienced, listen to this, church attendance. He experienced church attendance. Miss Elizabeth made mention just a little bit ago about when she got saved, she could live for Jesus and not go to church. That was her first thinking from what I picked up on her testimony. But I'm going to tell you, when a child of God gets born again and God takes up his abode, there's a desire to go to the house of God. I don't think you can live the Christian life. Now, somebody might criticize me. I don't believe you can live the Christian life and not belong to a church somewhere where you can go and get fed, where you can fellowship with other believers, where you can fulfill the will of God in your life. And we find out that Jesus, I mean, God manifested in the flesh, he attended church on a regular basis. Many places in his Bible. I was looking this evening. There's many places in his Bible where he attended church. First place was when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We've seen a lot of people that brought their children, their babies, and we've dedicated some of them to the Lord here. We're presented them to the Lord to use for His honor and glory. Now, we've dedicated some that's not here, and their mamas and daddies are not following through and bringing those children to the house of God, and they're going to pay for that one of these days. But I believe that Jesus, after He was born, He experienced church attendance. He experienced worship. I mean, he went to a worship service. I believe they were presented him there and did the rite of circumcision to him. That was a form of their worship that they went through. And we come here Sunday after Sunday. We need worship. Hebrews 10:25, if you don't get nothing else, you ought to get a hold of this verse. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, friend, we're living in the day approaching of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need church. You look around out here at all the wickedness, all the murders, all the things that's going on. I mean, everybody's anti-cop today. I mean, these people are wicked. They're killing cops, and they're doing everything, anything immoral that you can imagine is taking place today. Pedophiles all across this nation. Homosexuality is rampant in our land. We need church. We need worship. We need a place where we can serve. And can I say that after Jesus was born, he experienced church attendance. If Jesus needed to go to church, you and I sure need to go to church. It ought not be a once in a month thing either. You go through the book of Luke here and you read and find out how many times Jesus went up to the synagogue and how he took and read the scriptures and how he taught the people. I mean, if Jesus needed church, and Jesus prayed also. He spent nights in prayer. So he experienced church attendance. He experienced worship every year. Verse 41. Of chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now Jerusalem was the place that had been set aside to worship for Israel. Now they had synagogues in their little towns and places where they'd go, but once a year they took that pilgrimage and they went up and they went out of their way. They put forth special effort to go to Jerusalem to attend the Passover. Said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Hey, it's right to bring your children to church. They didn't leave Jesus at home. They carried him with them when he was 12 years old. He experienced church attendance. He experienced, number five, he experienced growth. Verse 40. It said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hey, why is it important to bring our children to church where they can grow? I mean, naturally, they're growing. That Mason's growing like a weed. They got him off that milk now. They're weaning him from that bottle. The Bible talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know, there comes a time, if you've been saved for any length of time, you ought to be off of milk. And some of the things that I preach about separation, living right and doing right, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's just milk. That's just milk of the Word. That's something that you should have done learned a long time ago, how Christians are supposed to live, how they're supposed to walk, how they're supposed to talk, how they're supposed to conduct themselves before this world. But we've dropped our standards in our churches today, and people don't know that. That's milk. That's when people first giving is milk. That's something we need to learn. That's why Christians need to be discipled when they first get saved. They're taught these things line upon line, precept upon precept, and these are just things that are milk of the Word. And there comes a time when you got to put away milk, you got to wean people, just like a weaning little Mason, and it's been a hard time thing. He's having DTs from that milk and that bottle because he's used to it. That's all he's used to it. Most of our churches across the land today are just baby churches. I love to get in a good shouting up service, but you know, you don't get much meat in a shouter up service, and it's good. We need that. We need worship. We need to hold our hands up and pray. Look at there, how high I held my hand up. We need to hold our hands up and praise the Lord. Hey, we were praising God before the Pentecostal movement ever got started back in the 1800s. We can follow our ancestors all the way back to the time of the apostles. They've always worshipped. You read through the book of Acts, they were worshiping. They were praising God. He experienced growth. The child grew. Number one, he waxed strong in the spirit. You want your children to be spiritually strong, they need to come to church. But church ain't all they need to get. They need to get that at home. They need to get the Word of God at home. They need to be prayer in the home. They need to be taught in the home. It's not my responsibility per se to train your children up. It's your responsibility. Dads are the priest of the home. It's up to him. If ladies want to know something, they need to ask their husband, and their husband needs to get unlazy and find out the answer to their questions. Now, I'll answer anything that I can, you know, and if we're getting a tight, you're getting a tight and you need to know, I'll help you find the answer if your wife has got something. But you're the head of your home. And them kids need to see that. They need to realize that dad is their leader. He experienced growth. The child grew. He waxed strong in spirit. You want spiritually strong kids, you got to keep them in this book. This is the only thing that's going to strengthen them, and I promise you, they need this Bible. Then he was filled with wisdom. The book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally unto all men and upbraideth not. Wisdom is knowing how to take the knowledge that you acquire, appropriate it, and use it in your life. Not many people got wisdom today. A lot of people got a lot of useless knowledge, but they don't have much wisdom. You got to know this Bible to get wisdom. You got to have the knowledge of the Word, and then you got to know Jesus to get the wisdom, because Christ is wisdom. Number four there, he said, your spirits grow, and the grace of God was upon him. You want the grace of God upon your life? Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. The grace of God can be upon us as we grow. It'll be with us. It'll teach you. The same grace that saved you will teach you how to live if you let it. And then lastly, he experienced normal everyday life. Jesus, he grew up in a home just like Sean and Carly and Cameron and Logan. He experienced normal everyday life. I'm sure that Joseph spent some time with him. He taught him there in the carpenter shop, no doubt, how to work with his hands. He experienced life as a child. Hey, let your kids be children. Let them be kids. Let them play in the dirt. Hey, don't be overprotective of them. Let them enjoy life. I know you got to watch kids, and I realize that. When we were young, hey, we was outside riding bicycles. We'd go out, we'd be gone for half a day at a time. They wasn't worried about us. Now, you'll get worried today. Because most kids can't take care of themselves like we could back then. We were just a little bit above and a little bit smarter, street-wise probably, woods-wise, because we wasn't no cars on the road. I could ride my bicycle to the store. And we didn't know what a bicycle helmet was. Now they're driving all this stuff in, and probably they need helmets. We'd build ramps, Chris, and jump them ramps, and I've took tumbles. Got all skin up. We were tough, and we could do things. But he experienced life as a child. Let your kids enjoy being a child. I've seen some people that they make them grow up too quick. These little girls, they start dolling them up and putting makeup on them when they're about 10, 11 years old. Hey, let them be a kid. They'll get all that stuff quick enough. Dyeing their hair. These little girls dyeing their hair. They're not never enjoyed their natural color of their hair. They get about 10, 11 years old, mamas go streaking their hair. Let them be a kid. You know, let them enjoy their natural color. One of these days they're going to have to dye it. They don't have to, but they will. I'm not being mean. I cannot stand that. These little girls at about 12, 13 years old, they look like they're 16, 17 years old. You're asking for trouble. Jesus grew as a child. Same way, when we get saved, we grow as a child. We learn. Hey, everybody's not going to hit the ground running. Sometimes people are slower. And I realize that. And I've always tried to have some patience. You got to have patience work on cars, I promise you that. But you got to have patience with children too, and with people. He experienced life as a child. He experienced life as a teen. Hey, he knows what you're going through, teenagers. I don't know what kind of peer pressure they had back then, but I guarantee you there was peer pressure. There was peer pressure. If you're going to be a Christian, there's going to be pressure on you. You can't live like the world. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to tell you that you can, because you can't just live like the world. You've got to be different. You've got to be a light for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. That ain't what I'm saying at all. You can enjoy life. But I'm going to tell you, you got to watch where you go. You got to watch what you do. You got to watch who you hang up with. Hang out with. You get hanging out with wrong people, you get hung up with wrong people. He experienced life as a child. He experienced life as a teen. He experienced life as an adult. 33 and a half years, Jesus walked on this earth. And then, at the age of 33 and a half, somewhere in there, we heard somebody say, there's one group of people, they said 33 and a third year, Jesus. I don't know how many years it was. I just know it was around 33 years. And we've always heard 33 and a half years that he was here on this earth, so we just take it for granted that it was somewhere approximately around between 33 and a half years that Jesus was here and he experienced life as an adult. So realize, even as a Christian, we're going to experience normal everyday life. Everything's not going to be hunky-dory all the time. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. The Bible does say, he that liveth godly shall suffer persecution. And I'm going to promise you, they were after Jesus. For the whole 3.5 years of his ministry here, the Pharisees was after him, the Sadducees were after him. That religious crowd was after him. And they're going to be after you. So, we see the life of Jesus contrast with the new birth that you and I experience. Hey, it's not going to be easy sometimes. But it wasn't easy for Jesus here on earth. He had a job to do and he accomplished it. You and I have a job to do and we need to accomplish it. Live for Jesus. Have a relationship with him. Grow. Young people, enjoy life, but be a light for Jesus. And no telling what God can do with you if you yield yourself to him. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the privilege we've had to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for your birth as you come into this world, the record of it, the opportunity that we have at this time of the year to celebrate your birth and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We know that you came into this, you were born into this world to die for our sins, Lord, and we sure are thankful that you loved us enough that you were willing to lay down your life and shed your blood. Help us to be examples of you. Those of us that experienced the new birth, Lord, I pray that we'll be that believer that you'd be pleased with. We love you. Help us now as we go through this remainder of this week, through this Christmas season. Help us to be a light. Lord, send laborers into the field. Lord, save people here. Lord, we don't like to go through these dry spells and nobody's being saved. Lord, I pray that you'll save someone in this place before this year's out. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for the privilege we have to come to your house. In Jesus' name, amen.